You feeling good?
We're gonna do this together.
5 seconds to the open.
Everyone here is the best there is.
Amazing.
This is it.
Things are about to get a little bit more exciting.
You ready?
Welcome to Spotlight Conversations, a podcast that introduces you to voices and perspectives from all corners of the entertainment biz, from radio and television to music and publishing. Unscripted and mostly unplugged, our special guests tell their stories of how it started to how it's going now. And here's your host, radio personality and VO pro, the rock and roll homemaker herself, Donna Reed.
We're going to talk a little bit about art today. It's Spotlight Conversations. We do discuss media things. I thought, you know, we should talk about art. I'm in Houston. It's a beautiful city. Sally Bradford is my guest today. She's the executive director of the North Houston Development Corporation. We're going to talk about the state qualifiers for BMX. I know that's not art, but we'll get to that. The beautiful art around Houston. And some of the things you've been working on. Welcome, Sally. Just give us a brief overview of your job.
Sure. Well, we're a local government corporation, and we have public funds that we spend in the North Houston area. So we build streets, we build bridges, we've funded a fire station, we are getting ready to fund a police station out here.
Nice.
And a big part of this is we decided early on that each project that we do, whether it's a street or bridge, would include public art. And so over the years, we have over 30 pieces of public art in this North Houston area. So we're very excited about that because we think it's fantastic for the community to encourage pride in the community, but also visitors that come in, they don't realize there is so much public art in this North Houston area.
Now, where does the art come from? Are they local artists or do you bring them in or?
They're local and from other cities, but most of them have some kind of local connection.
So when you get all this artwork, do you spend a day, a week deciding on what gets out there for the public to see at some of our parks here in Houston?
Well, what we do is we think about a piece of public art that works well with the project that we're doing or the area where we're putting the piece of art. For instance, like Dillon Park, which is beautiful children's park that is really for, it's all wheelchair accessible. And so the public art in that area is wonderful because it is geared towards children. And for instance, we have an area there that we have a quiet area for children that may be on the spectrum and they don't want to be in the middle of the chaos at a park. Mm-hmm. And so we have a quiet area. And so we put a piece of art there by Andrew Carson. And it is about 15 feet tall. Wow. And at the top is a mobile that spins and it has glass and colorful metal pieces. So when the breeze hits it, that piece spins around. So it's really relaxing to be in that area for the children that don't want to be in the middle of a crowd. We have several mosaic pieces there. We have one by Dixie Friend Gay, who's a local artist, but who's world renowned.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 30-foot mosaic. And what we asked her to do was not to just do flat surface, but to do things like the starfish and the snails and the turtles, all to raise those. So you have that tactile feeling. So children can maybe have some sight issues, can feel that, and the parent or a friend can say, find me the turtle. And they can go through that and feel the raised area and find
great.
The turtle.
So I didn't realize there are artists who specifically tailor their art for this kind of viewing.
Yeah, Dixie Friend Gay, actually I got to know her. I worked at the airport system for 15 years before I came here. And she did an incredible piece that was of the swamps, and it was in the AB garage area for the parking garage.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very large piece, incredible piece. But she has mosaics and art at the Federal Reserve Building. She has them in other airports around the world. So she's a really renowned local artist that her work is mostly in mosaics, although she does do paintings also.
Must be exciting to find a new artist in Houston that maybe hasn't had a chance to have their work displayed in this way.
Yeah, actually, an artist that we started with for one of our pieces was Kevin Box. Mm. His family lives here in Houston. He was showing in an art gallery here, and I saw a small piece of his in the art gallery, and it was of folded planes. You know how as a child you fold planes and you throw them through the air? It was a great little piece, and I found his telephone number. He was living in Santa Fe at the time, and he happened to pick up the phone. And I started talking to him about that, and I said, you know, Kevin, could you do that piece maybe about 15 feet tall as a public art piece? And he says he's done it in, you know, maybe 5 foot. He hasn't really gotten into public art very much, but, you know, he said he'd like to give it a go. So we came up with a prize, and that was his first major piece of public art.
Uh-huh.
And now Kevin Box is incredible. He has so many pieces of wonderful art, public art, and he displays them in botanical gardens around the United States. Shows are up for maybe about 3 months at a time. He brings all his pieces in. I believe he's in Fort Worth right now, in the botanical garden there. He was in Atlanta during the summer. So here's a young artist that just started by doing a piece of major public art here, is now known all over the United States. So yes, we love giving that opportunity to these young artists.
When you were first starting out, did you ever think you'd have the opportunity to help blossoming artists like this?
No, you know, one of the things that convinced me to leave the aviation department was that I was told that, you know, you're going to be able to do things like create parks, create things for the community, create things that are going to draw people in from all over.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what? I was at a point where I'd probably done everything I could do at the airport. I had done the rental car facility there, and I'd done a lot of other things. So this really appealed to me that maybe there could be a difference out here, that we could add different things to creative things to make it more appealing. So I came in with that hope. But I don't think I ever thought that I would come to this you know, area and maybe perhaps along with our board make a difference.
Now, is this Hobby Airport?
I was at all three. I worked for the director. So Houston Airport system consists of Hobby Airport, Intercontinental Airport, and Ellington Field.
Now at Intercontinental, I believe there are fish in a mosaic piece as you walk in.
Right. Yeah, there's all kinds in that. That's probably Dixie Friend Gaze. I was fortunate enough at the airport to be part of the art selection committee. And as you know, the airport, including Hobby, has an incredible art collection that they've purchased over the years.
It's different when you were working for the airport system and now with the parks. How would you describe the difference? I mean, for the obvious reasons, we know one is inside, one's outside. But for you, for someone who you're in management and you're on executive committees, but you also get a chance to use your artistic leanings too.
Right. Well, it happens that I was in several galleries myself many years ago in California. So I already had this interest in art before I started at the airport or out here.
Perfect. Oh, it's a perfect job.
I knew how important it was to me. And it is different in a sense, but you're still trying to, bottom line is you're still trying to encourage people to, you know, use their emotions to see a piece of art and they feel something. And it can be any kind. It can be a small piece. It can be a huge public art piece. And different things are going to appeal to different people. But it may be a piece that gives you serenity. It may be a piece that excites you. But that is probably the same, whether you're at the airport or you're in parks. That's your goal. Our bike park out here, we have three major pieces of artwork. One of them was created by Steve Olson. He's considered the godfather of skateboarding. And over the years, he's gone into art. So he did a piece for us at the skate park, and then now he's done one at the bike park. And it's of a BMX rider doing a trick upside down. It's a big piece in bronze as you come into the park. That was the perfect piece for this park. In addition to that, I found an artist, another young artist, named Christopher Owen Nelson. I saw a piece of his at a gallery here. There was a photograph of a large piece. And it's actually like a huge piece of rock, you know, like a geode.
Yeah, yeah.
Where when you cut a geode and you've got crystals on the inside. So we did this huge piece of concrete on the outside, and then it looks like it's been, you know, broken in half. And he did each one of those individual crystals in all different colors of blues, aquas, purples, golds. And so, of course, that piece, when it's lit up at night, is just fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
The other piece that I think is really important to the bike park here, because as you can imagine, we have a lot of children here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Rock, Paper, Scissors. And that piece is also done by Kevin Box, the young artist I mentioned previously.
Oh, yeah.
And it is exactly that. It's this piece. We have it up on a hill, and I think it's around 10 feet tall. And the bottom is rock, and then it's scissors and a piece of paper. And, you know, kids, lots of times they solve their problems or resolve issues by doing rock, paper, scissors.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they love that piece. So that one we get a lot of conversation about.
Was that his idea to come up with rock, paper, scissors or yours?
Yes,
or
that was a piece that he's done that in a couple of other sizes. One of them much larger than what we have here. It's on his botanical gardens tour. But yes, that was his idea. And so when I knew we could get a piece about the size we needed, I thought, oh, that's perfect. We'll put that one here.
Why do you think Houston is such a great place for a skate park?
Well, I mean, California is, you know, I hate to admit it, but they are the world place for skateboarding. However, Houston, now that we have some smaller parks, but we have two major parks. One of them, Jojo Mail downtown, which is in that incredible setting.
It is.
And then ours, which is one of the largest in the world at 78,000 square feet. And when we developed ours, Jojo Mail was already there. And so we said, look, we don't want to do duplications. What we'll do is we'll do things in that you don't have as far as at Jojo Mail and vice versa. So where they have a half cradle, we have a full pipe. And that was so that people coming into Houston for about 20 minutes from Jojo Mail, then come in, fly into the airport here, we're 10 minutes from the airport, do our skate park, and then go down to Jojo Mail, and they have a completely different experience. It's something that we wanted to do that does put us on the map for skateboarding. And one of the things that we're working on right now, we've already purchased the property, it's right in our same area, is an elite training facility for Olympians, for people that are trying to qualify for the Olympics or that are already an Olympian.
Very nice. And, that's exciting.
That will be right here, right with our bike park and our skate park, which really will put Houston on the map for skateboarding.
I'm talking with Sally Bradford, Executive Director of the North Houston Development Corporation, and she's part of putting together a half a dozen parks, including the largest skate park in North America, 24 public art pieces as well. And the Greens Point area, which is in Houston, just for listeners who are not familiar with the Houston area, was that the first place where you said, let's build this up and make it pretty?
Yeah, that you know, the Greens Point area, which really we refer to as North Houston, is a challenged area. And so what we're trying to do is create things that are wonderful for the community, give them amenities that they normally wouldn't see, but also that bring in people from all over Houston. And then as we've found now, all over the world with our parks, we have teams that come in from Norway, Japan, France, Canada, that come in and train at our BMX park. We have Olympian skaters from Australia that won the gold at the last Olympics that did some training out here at our skate park. So what we've done then, we hope, is again, bring amenities close to home, but have people come out to this area now and say, wow, I didn't know that exists. Wow, I didn't know they had that much public art out there. So we want to encourage people to come visit North Houston.
Good things have come from that because the bike park will host the 2028 UCI BMX Racing World Championships. Oh my, you must have been thrilled to hear that.
Well, we are. And I tell you what, the Harris County Houston Sports Authority had worked for years to get that so we would be awarded the world tier. So kudos to them for helping us get that world championships here. The wonderful thing about that one is the world championships, they will then qualify at this park to go into the Olympics at LA, Los Angeles, the 2028 Olympics. Man. So it's huge for the city of Houston. And we're very excited about that. All the people that you would see in the Olympics will probably be at those world championships.
But we have to wait till 2028.
28, yes. However, our national championships that are the weekend of April 20th, we have a lot of world championships, world champions that come to participate in that competition. So we do have annually a national competition. We have state championships and we have state qualifiers. So we have several events here a year that bring in pros from all over.
Now, where will the event be on April 20th?
It will be here at the Rockstar Energy Bike Park, and that's on Kirkendall, right off of the I-45 feeder road.
How many people do you think, going back to the 2028 event too, how many people do you think that will bring in, and how will that affect Houston economy big time?
Sure. Well, the Nationals brings in about 4,000 people a day, but the Worlds is off the scales. We could have as many as 8, 10, 12,000 people here. So that's going to be huge. We have to bring in a bunch of temporary bleachers. It's a big event for Houston.
Will there be artwork there as well on April 20th? Have you picked that up, or do you sort of stay away from that for this?
Well, we have our three pieces here already at the bike park that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But then we're also right there at Dillon Park, which I believe that park has about 8 pieces of public art. And then we have the skate park, which has a great piece of public art there that involves a skateboarder on a full pipe.
All right, Sally, I'm going to ask you, and you have to be honest. I'm sure you've been on a bike, but have you ever been on a skateboard?
When I first started, we were developing the skate park. I thought, this can be great. I'm going to be out here. My office is at the bike park. And, of course, at that time, it was, half a mile from the skate park. And I thought, this is a great opportunity for me to learn skateboarding. Now, I'm not a young person by any means. And so I thought, but I can do it. So I stepped on a skateboard, and I just stepped on it, and it wobbled. And that was it. I said, nope. Skateboarding is not for me.
She made her decision.
And then I made my decision. And when we opened up the bike park, and my office is out here, I went out, I bought myself a bike. I thought this would be great exercise for me. Mm-hmm. And I think I went 100 yards. I said, nope.
But you tried.
I tried.
Kudos to
I
you
tried.
For trying. Just before we wrap up, I was just thinking people are young students finishing school, or maybe they're halfway through, they're thinking about a career doing what you're doing, combining their left brain and right brain, as it were. What path would you tell them to go on?
For me, it was kind of being at the right place at the right time and getting incredible experience at the airport system. And so I would always encourage people to try to work at an airport because you have all the different things there. I started there in planning, design, and construction. Then I went into properties, which is all the land acquisition for the runway there. Mm-hmm. Then you have all the concessions there at the airport.
Yeah, it's huge.
You have art acquisition. You're working directly with city council and the government. And then that's when I went to work for the director of the airport system and went on big special projects. So you get all the different elements that you want to work on that gives you the opportunity to go elsewhere to also work. And then now I'm working here and again, work closely with the city. And it's just an amazing experience to see all those different areas. If you're going to go to school, it's kind of hard to decide because there's so many different things that you could go into. Mm-hmm. But, of course, you can always go into you know, public service, or you could go into, you know, some kind of political deal. But, you know, architecture, art, planning, you know, engineering, all of those things.
Absolutely important. Right. What are your goals for the next 10 years or so?
Well, at some point I need to retire. I've been at this a long time. I've been here 21 years. I was at the airport 15 years. But, you know, here we've got several projects. As I mentioned, the Olympic training facility. We're getting ready to do two major street projects. We have a lot of other projects in the works that we'll do out here. So that's going to keep me busy for the next 2 or 3 years. And then I need to look at doing something else, you know, relaxing for a while, I'm sure. I'm sure I'll think of something to do.
Well, I'm sure you'll find yourself some nice art galleries for starters.
Well, I'd like to. I'm starting to go back into my art now as we speak. And so I'll probably go back into that to a certain extent when I retire.
And thank you for sharing your story about skateboards and bikes. I really appreciate it. That was like just unscripted, and I thought I'm going to shoot it at her. And you came back with no problem answering it. So I appreciate your honesty,
thank you.
Sally. Thanks for coming in today.
Well, thank you for having me. And I just want to say one thing that, you know, I'm very fortunate that I work for a board that also sees these visions. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't have someone that says, go ahead, do it, that's a great idea, a lot of these things couldn't have happened. So I always want to give a shout out to my board for supporting me in the different projects that we've created over the years.
Shout out done. And thank you again for stopping by Spotlight Conversations, Sally.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Spotlight Conversations with Donna Reed. Subscribe on Apple and Spotify podcasts or your favorite platform. Thanks for tuning in.